This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Another hour, what's on your mind? I'm Scott Hennon. 800-228-0550 is the number for your speed dial to call us anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call 855-200-1776 when we're live on the air. 800-228-0550. Send your text comments as well, 701-367-2054. Todd is on vacation this week. A little bit of last week and into this week. Doing the vacation thing, and I did see he posted on Facebook over the weekend that they, you know, when you're in Minnesota, you got to do the really, you know, the iconic, important vacation stops. You know what that would be, Kevin?
You make it Lefse? Let's see.
No, he went to the Spam Museum.
Oh, the Stoke, yeah. Done in Austin, yeah.
Yeah, so he's at the Spam Museum.
Pork shoulder and ham. I love the Spam.
It would be fun to get a T-shirt from there, though, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be worth it. Anyway, we're gonna welcome back Todd and get the full story on Monday. Looking forward to that. This hour on the program, remind me, I need to get to that letter to the editor. Because for once, I read a letter to the editor and I didn't want to, you know, like, lose my breakfast. But anyway, it was very, very well done. And I want to share which one I'm talking about with you. And we can start a little dialogue about that. Also, Marshall Johnson's going to be here at the bottom of the hour. Marshall's regional director of the Mule Deer Foundation. So any questions on a mule deer, he'd be your expert. But they have a project they're partnering with the North Dakota Petroleum Council about, and they're going to tell us about that. We're joined today in this first segment by Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. How are you, Jesse?
Good morning. I'm good.
Nice to see you. Captain Andy Frohbig is here. Hi, Andy.
Morning, Scott.
So Andy, by the way, is the Cass County Jail Administrator. Of course, Jesse, the sheriff of Cass County. We had a listener send in a note saying, I would like you to have the sheriff on to talk about how they run their jail compared to, you know, New York. So obviously everybody's watching the situation in New York and going, wait a minute here. Guards asleep, suicide watch, nobody watching the guy. I mean, what's going on? Now, I realize it's New York, so that probably is all we really need to know. And sure. I realize you don't know anything about what happened there. And,
I don't
want to. But at least we can find out how our jails run, so people know, right?
Sure, and just like you said, Scott, I mean, we're obviously happy to come on and give some education about how we run our facility. That's why I brought Andy here. He's our expert and runs it on a day-to-day basis for me. And very knowledgeable, of course, which is why I have him run it. I'm not familiar with anything involving the case of Jeff Epstein, of course, so I wouldn't be able to comment on that at all. And I do not know their daily routines and how they conduct business. So, but anything in reference to our jail, we certainly would be happy to answer our questions on how we conduct business. So,
you have a busy jail, though, right?
We do. Our population has been up as of late. You know, not sure exactly what that's attributed to. Andy might have a little better idea on that. Of course, when it gets nice outside, business picks up a little bit. More people are out doing things. But it has been up. We've been running, you know, in the vicinity of 300, which is up a little bit for us. So.
Interesting. So, Andy, tell me a little bit, first of all, just about the jail itself. Sheriff mentioned population is up. Why?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. Last year, 2018, we booked in just a little bit north of 9,700 people, and we're on pace to exceed that this year. Alcohol and drug use is a big driver of that, and we're having population increases in the rural and metro area.
So alcohol and drug use, meaning alcohol, I assume DUI or some related crime?
Domestic assault goes up when people are drinking, regular assaults, disorderly conducts, all those types of things that are, you know, where alcohol was a contributing factor, not necessarily the driver.
How about on a drug offense? Is it, you know, they've been picked up and there were drugs found in their car?
Sure.
Why are you in jail for drug use? What are the typical reasons?
Possession of drugs, selling drugs, paraphernalia. Oftentimes the drugs or the paraphernalia that's found is secondary to what the initial contact was for in the first place.
I want to ask you, Sheriff, about that a little bit. There are efforts to reform, you know, with prison sentences, and a lot of that focuses on drugs, on people that need recovery rather than being in jail. In general, is that a good approach? Do you support that?
Well, I think that there are some people that can be rehabilitated, and if we can do that, we should try to do that, you know, because that, if we can bring our populations down and not have, you know, and it doesn't hurt public safety. That's, of course, is what we're concerned with, is public safety, releasing people back and being a danger to the community. But in this instance, if we do have people that, you know, they've gone down that path of addiction, and there's and nothing that's been, you know, they haven't committed any violent crimes, and we're able to rehabilitate them, certainly then, you know, I do agree with that approach, if that's possible. We're not going to be able to do that with everyone, as you know. And so there are the small percentage where I believe that we can potentially intervene and maybe get them on a straight and narrow path again. So, and in that case, it saves taxpayers money if we can keep them out of our facilities. So
for sure, are there rehab/recovery services available in the jail? Are you able to do that to any extent?
We've really upped our efforts on that for the last probably I'd say 3 years or so. Especially since the opioid crisis really peaked back in 2016, we've been adding in additional resources across the whole spectrum of opportunities there. We have partnerships now with Prairie St. John's, with several of the local private treatment providers that are in the town that we can do referrals to. We can, while people are serving their sentence, if we can get them into residential treatment or partial hospitalization treatment, we're doing that. We have the state Free Three Recovery Program, where we're bringing in the peer counselors and the care coordinators that are coming in to meet with people that are on their client list while they're in jail and trying to get them more straightened out and address those root causes where they need the assistance.
Interesting. So drugs, alcohol, two big reasons you're on the high side of your typical population.
Absolutely the biggest driver.
Yeah. Anything else?
You know, one of the things we're really struggling with for the last probably 18 months or so is just the sheer number of people we're having to deal with on a day-to-day basis that are under the influence when they arrive, because that's a huge burden, because we have to keep them, you know, that kind of ties in with this suicide risk that we're here to talk about today, because when people are significantly intoxicated or under the influence of who knows what drug, that influences their poor decision-making once they arrive at jail as well. So we have to keep them under close observation.
Makes sense. So how do you determine when somebody might be suicidal?
The two biggest ways we can identify that are based on statements that they make or affirmative actions that they actually take that are self-injurious. We do a suicide screening tool that we have. It's a standardized tool on every single intake that we do, based on the answers to those specific questions that are all data-driven and evidence-based based on what's happened in the past with actual suicidal people. Then we have certain levels of protocols that we can follow and certain referrals that we can make and additional screening that we can do based on the outcome of that tool.
So at that point, you determine they are, and what's the protocol then? They're walking.
I guess the first thing I'll say is there's different levels when you say they are suicidal. You know, somebody that has. We're going to look at the recency of any prior attempts that they've made or that they're willing to disclose, whether they've actually seen a professional since that attempt or self-harm behavior, if they're currently threatening to do any self-harm behavior. So at the top of the most high-risk people that we have would be those that are actively telling us, I intend to kill myself, I have a plan,
You're not going to stop me.
You're not going to stop me.
Defiant there, huh?
And that's where we'll take the most precautions. We have those that sometimes we get some indicators or we can sense that we suspect that might be an issue, and maybe it's something that they said to the field officer during the arrest, and now they're not telling us anything, so now we have to subjectively decide what precautions we want to take, and we'll use intermediate measures in that case to do whatever we feel is necessary and reasonable, and then we can always back off or escalate those as necessary.
What do you make of Andy's mention that there's an increased amount of prisoners coming in, or, you know, suspects coming in that have already. I mean, they're under the influence there. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, that happens fairly often, and oftentimes our staff has to make those assessments when they get into our facility. And that attributes, just as Andy said, a lot to the behaviors that happen after they get into our facility. So, again, as he said, we have tools when people come in where we can try to determine for sure the level of intoxication. Sometimes those individuals have to be taken to the hospital, you know, when initially to be cleared before they come into our facility, and that type of thing. But we do have a staff on scene as well that can talk to them in regards to their suicidal tendencies, and so that often helps as well. So
you need a lot of professionals.
Yep.
Amazing the work they do day in and out. There's things we just don't ever think about. It more of our conversation with folks in Cass County talking about what's happening in the jails. Listener asked for this question. I'm glad they did. Asked for this topic, and we're happy to cover it. More coming up after this. Don't go away.
The Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, Pumpkin Fest, and Robot Camp for Kids. We have a vibrant downtown Main Street and a brand new community center. Tioga's average median age is 39.6 years old with a median income of $73,000 per year, supporting nearly 140 businesses in the Tioga area. And we welcome new businesses and industries with plenty of active community groups that support the business environment. Tioga also supports local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, and electronics and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Please visit us in Tioga and experience a different point of view. Or for more information, visit www.tiogand.org. That's tiogand.org.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources. Fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Titan Machinery has the most versatile tractors on the market, the new generation T7 series from New Holland. These tractors expertly handle the field work of row crop and mixed farming operations, as well as tough hauling, transport, and utility chores. Nine models from 140 to 3,000 horsepower give you precise control and best-in-class comfort of the Horizon cab. See your local Northern Region New Holland dealer about New Holland T7 tractors today. They give you power, versatility, comfort, and efficiency.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
And but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Back on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by High Plains Apache. And our friends at High Plains Apache, of course, are the folks that know spray application. So when you spray as much as you do, you need support from the folks that know spray application. Nobody knows it like they do at High Plains Apache. That's right. And High Plains Apache has some used sprayers on hand right now. Of course, the 2019 model, still some great deals there. The new 40 series of Apache sprayers soon in the 2020s. They are in Mandan across from Culver's. They are in Fargo, south of Fargo, actually in Frontier, I-29 and Exit 60. And you can call them at 701-663-2375, 701-663-2375. Or online at highplainsapache.com. The sheriff of Cass County, Jesse John, is with us today on the program, and his captain, Andy Frobig, was Cass County Jail Administrator. And we're asking some questions for you on the issue of jail security. Texter asked this question, and sort of where I was going to go next anyway with this, but here it is. Please ask the sheriff what happens with suicidal inmates. Are they treated different? Are they segregated? Do they live in different type of cells? What about people who are high profile, such as the murder, serious assaults? Are they separated? How are they treated differently?
Sure. So many of the statements that you that person had texted to you are correct. We can start with the high profile cases here. Obviously, if we do have a high profile case, an inmate within our facility, there are several things that we have to take into consideration. One of those is that the investigation isn't jeopardized at all with who they may be housed with, the information that could be passed, and things of that nature. So sometimes they are secluded into a different area while that case is taking place. We also want to make sure that if that person that involving in that case is also incarcerated within our facility, we don't want them, of course, to be housed in the same area, so that either one of them could, you know, assault each other. So we would separate them that way. So that kind of answers a little bit of the case specific question in reference to suicidal individuals. Definitely, if we know someone is suicidal and we have that information, it's been somewhat verified, or you know, based on like what Andy had referred to earlier, maybe they have made statements, told us that they're suicidal, then we're going to take extra precautions, and that could include anything that texter had mentioned to you, where we put them on a certain watch, or maybe we're checking on them more frequently. They may be moved to a different part of our facility where a different cell is accessible, you know, something like a padded cell where they don't have access to a lot of utensils or clothing or anything like that where they could use to harm themselves. And then lastly, we do have some restraint chair options if that person is actively trying to hurt themselves on a regular basis. We can place that person into a restraint chair where we could then obviously protect them from harming themselves. So
it sounds like a high-stress work environment, Andy. Is it a little tough?
Certainly has its moments, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. So piggybacking on what the sheriff is saying there related to, someone, you're going to tell me how you do it, not how obviously New York has done it. We know that. That's why we're, I guess, asking to say what's the standard. But as far as what you do when you have a prisoner, it sounds like you have a lot of options, number sure. one. Number two, you think about it quite a bit, right?
I mean, we certainly pay a lot of attention to it. You know, we're going to bring in professionals also, you know, psychiatrists or mental health, you know, qualified people to give us their assessment of what they're they feel the person's risk is for that kind of thing, too, and take that into account.
Right. And, you know, again, I don't expect you guys to know chapter and verse everything happened in New York with that, and I promised the sheriff I wasn't going to focus on that. Just focus on what you guys do so we can sort of learn on how it's different here because people are wondering about this now. But, you know, is there anything obvious that seems to you that doesn't make any sense? Why would they have done that? Is it,
Everything I've read about it is just from media reports. I don't even know at this point what's confirmed and what really isn't. So
yeah, that's a little hard too. You don't know exactly what the real deal is. But what would be a staple of, you know, a situation in a jail with a suicidal patient? Just that half hour at a bare minimum.
Well, you know, we've before gotten people directly from the hospital that have just been released from the hospital with a doctor's note saying this person is suicidal. Keep them on suicide watch. So from that point, you know, they're going to go on a minimum of 15-minute checks. And by 15, I mean that's going to be the maximum amount of time in between any two checks. One check might be 4 minutes. One check might be six.
Is the person does that, that's all they do? Are they walking around just checking?
No, they're going to have other duties as well. But in the course of that, what we do is we put a log on the door so that we can actually make notes about the observations that we make about the person each time somebody comes by. So any staff member that's walking around can do that. We have a timer that we use that alerts us when we're coming up on that 15-minute time frame, just in case we haven't done it yet already. We're going to interact with that person. We're going to make sure they get food, water. If they're sleeping, we're not going to wake them up, or we're going to make sure that they're actually asleep and not, you know, deceased. It's just a process of making sure that we're ensuring their safety first and foremost. It's not comfortable. I wouldn't say it's at all therapeutic, but it's necessary.
And just real quick on that, I mean, and like Andy said, I mean, our checks might be 15 minutes, but very much like he said, we're going to try to alter those in between so that person can also pick up on our pattern, you know, often we're coming by. Because if they get our pattern, then that's when they can try to, if they did have plans to hurt themselves, you know, engage in those plans because they know when we're coming around again. So we try to alter that, change our patterns and do things differently so we're not predictable.
How about high-profile prisoners? You know, high-profile case. Are they treated differently at Cass County Jail?
As far as the suicidal watch or just the
anything,
case?
Anything. Yeah.
Well, again, much like I stated earlier, if it's a high-profile case, we want to make sure that if it's still being investigated, that person is in an area where the investigation can't be tainted by things, you know, people might say to them, things that they might see, things like that. So we're definitely going to take extra precautions based on what that case is.
Andy, is it a regular part of what you do, keeping tabs on where one prisoner might want to try and harm another?
Sure, yeah. That kind of assessment goes on a daily basis. You know, all the staff are trained to watch for any kind of intelligence or signs that something, you know, something like that may be an issue that we need to be concerned about. With any high-profile case, whether it's that person presents a risk to other inmates or they are considered to be a vulnerability risk, and the last thing I want to see is somebody try to take an opportunity to get some revenge against somebody that's a high-profile case and they themselves end up with a much more serious offense. So we have isolated people before for their own protection. We have isolated them because we felt they were a risk to the other inmates in the jail.
Is it common? I mean, is it frequent that there's, you know, sort of inmate-on-inmate...
About actual assaults?
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's far less common than probably in a lot of other facilities within our facility. We do see fist fights that occur maybe, you know, once every week or two. Staff assaults, I would say, are very uncommon. I can't recall, other than maybe somebody using a pencil, anybody ever getting armed with a weapon, inmate or staff. You know, every once in a while they'll jab with a pencil, but that's really about all they got. We don't find knives and things like that that are
sounds like you have a good, well-run jail, sure.
Yep, we have a very good staff there, and I feel very confident with the way that the facility is run.
Well, we know how a jail in North Dakota runs, the Cass County Jail Administrator, Andy Probick, the Sheriff, Jesse John. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us on, Steve. Or Scott, I'm sorry.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Thanks. And we'll come back when we... finish up with a break. We're going to talk a little bit about mule deer. We're having some fun. Monday mule deer and the Bee Gees. They go together. More after this.
Ethanol is very important to North Dakota agriculture. And it's important to Castleton, North Dakota. Morgan Fornes, superintendent of Central Cass Schools, tells us how important the Tharaldson ethanol plant is to Castleton and the region.
Well, we certainly couldn't have done what we needed and what happened here in the last 2 years without the ethanol plant. You know, not only are they a great, you know, taxpaying entity for the community, but the investment in creating a vibrant economy here locally in the city of Castleton and actually regionally with the agricultural community is second to none.
That tax base has expanded the school for 21st century learning, plus a beautiful new athletic facility. But the impacts are community-wide.
The businesses in any community is vital to the success of a community, and the ethanol plant is just a great example of that. Not only the economic power that they bring to the community, but job creation, tax-paying entity, everything along those lines.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A survey of economists by the National Association for Business Economics out this morning showing 38% of them predict a recession next year. 34% say the recession will happen in 2021. The White House continues to say it's not going to happen. Here's counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway.
It's just not the way we see it. And, of course, it's nice to have the mainstream media finally covering the economy. But they only cover it when they can use Sesame's Grover word of the day, recession. Look, the fundamentals are very strong.
She spoke on Fox and Friends. An Ohio man, James Reardon, will be heading to court today accused of making threats against the Jewish community. The FBI says he posted a video online saying that he would be the gunman at a local synagogue even though the shooting hadn't happened. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Is powered by Schwann Buick GMC Cadillac on the Strip in Mandan, by the way, and SchwannBuickGMC.com. The 2020 HD pickups are in, so if you're thinking, you know, those new Sierras and that new tailgate, that's nice and all, but I got work to do. Get yours. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
28 before the top of the hour on What's On Your Mind. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Hennen, and welcome to a Monday edition of the program. The Bee Gees Monday edition of the program. How about that?
I like it.
Huh?
I got some Bee Gees.
Yeah, exactly right.
There's any.
I'm going to spice things up a little bit today on the radio for you. Get you fired up, brand new week. Got to go to town. All right. Next up. We're talking mule deer. We've got a neat little partnership that is happening between the North Dakota Petroleum Council and the Mule Deer Foundation. To tell us more about that is Marshall Johnson. Marshall, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Just sitting down here in Wishik, North Dakota right now, picking up one of our tools here for this upcoming event that we're doing, this project.
I thought for sure you were going to say picking up sausage. What I thought you were going to say.
Well, actually, we are on the quest right here for that sausage over here. I think it's, what is it, at stand, I think?
Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. That's, yeah. No, we've got we're working up with the North Dakota Petroleum Council and a couple of their industry partners. Unfortunately, I don't have those names on that with me right now, but we've got about 18 to 20 people that are going to be helping out with this project coming up on Thursday. Just kind of give you a little background on that. North Dakota Petroleum Council, Ron Ness contacted us, and they've been seeing a lot of the habitat work that we've been doing out there on landowners' property, dealing with fencing and some of that conifer or juniper removal. We're doing some weeding and just all kinds of different things that we can do to improve the habitat for the wildlife. And, we've been talking about it for about a year and he said, we would really like to get back. The industry would like to get together, do something that like you're doing and ask Mule Deer Foundation if we'd be willing to help put something together, help guide it, help manage it. And that's what's coming up here on Thursday, the 22nd. We're going to be on the Bill Lohman's Ranch. Northwest of Medora, kind of straight north of Sentinel Butte, about 20 miles. And we are going to go out there and we are going to pull about 4 miles of that dreaded, horrible, woven sheep fence, getting it off the prairie. And Bill's going to replace any fencing with wildlife-friendly fencing.
That is, that's not a small project, which is one of the reasons I guess you need your own fencing baler, right?
Yes. That's why we're down here in Wishing today to pick up one. We were very fortunate that we requested a grant from the North Dakota Petroleum Council a couple months back. And they have their fishing derbies that they do annually. And several years ago, they had made a donation to us as well to help us purchase a trailer for our youth program. And so we applied again this year. And they gave us enough money here that we can buy our own baler, or it's called a Dakota Wire Winder. And it will take a whole woven fence in one shot, and we can probably pull about, I would say, 100, 200 yards out of it in one roll each time. So it really cuts down the time. And we just practiced with one here back in June on some property down in Grant County, and we were able to pull 4.5 miles in one day down there. So that's pretty good work.
I'd say for sure. And obviously a great partnership too. You got the fishing derby donations, as you say, and I know you've done other things with the Petroleum Council. This is a give back effort on their part, and obviously helping to, you know, help the habitat, in this case mule deer as well. And have you seen any kind of impact at all, positive, negative, neutral, from the increased energy development in North Dakota on the mule deer population?
There was a study that was done back around 2010, and you know, there were some areas of disturbance and things like that, but generally it would come back, basically. You know, so that initial disturbance when they're putting in roads and energy lines and stuff like that, yes, you're pushing animals away. There could be a negative effect in that regards, but then once everything's all settled down and everything, the dust settles, basically. Things kind of come back to the come back to normal. It's always a little scary when you're losing habitat. That's why, you know, we've reached out to the North Dakota Petroleum Council back in 2010 and 11 to visit with them and work with them that, you know, let's turn around and let's take the habitat we have out there and let's improve it. Let's make it better. And, that's what we can do to help the mule deer. I mean, the biggest culprit for mule deer is weather. That's the number one killer of mule deer, and we can't control that, but we sure in the heck can help out with habitat.
How are the numbers looking?
They are looking pretty good. It's another year with an increase again. I think all but one area has done well. They've been averaging anywhere from that 19 to 24% increase year over year, which is really, really good. That's what we need to do. Our buck to doe ratio is really good. The fawn to doe ratio has been really good. We've been very fortunate, weather wise. It's been pretty good to us. I got a little scared this last fall because if you remember back in November, December, we had some pretty cold and heavy snow days and everything, but then the Mother Nature came back and was nice to us, the latter part of the winter where we just didn't really have much of the snow. So the animals were able to get around and were able to get their food and stuff. So,
well, I think I saw, 21% increase from the North Dakota. Where the heck did that come from? Game and Fish. Yeah, it was from Game and Fish.
Yeah.
And that was specific to Western North Dakota, right?
Right. Yeah, that's where our mule deer are, in the western part of the state. Basically, you know, you draw a line on the Missouri River going north, south, everything to the west. And the actual first 60 to 75 miles is prime. That's the prime mule deer habitat. People will say they see mule deer, and they do. You know, they'll see them by McCluskey. They'll see them over by Linton and sometimes even further east than that. But primarily, you know, where they're doing their studies and everything like that, it's all in the western part of the state there.
Chatting with Marshall Johnson, who is the regional director for the Mule Deer Foundation. They have a partnership with the North Dakota Petroleum Council working on some projects to increase the habitat, taking some fence down. Tell me a little more about that sheep fence you said that is just a real problem for wildlife. What is the history there? Why is it still up?
Yeah, well, a lot of these fences, you know, from barbed wire to these sheep fences were put up anywhere from 50 to almost 100 years ago. And some of those are still out there in the plains and out in our prairies and stuff like that. Costs a lot of money to replace a fence and pull it down. And so, you know, obviously the landowner and rancher and farmers are going to use those fences as long as they certainly can. But so you got your normal barbed wire fence, but then you have your sheep fence, which is, if you've been out there, it's woven, it's like little squares. It is a barrier to the wildlife. So small game can't get through it. Antelope, if you've seen antelope go under fences, they don't jump them. They can't get through it. Fawns, they can't get over, especially during the weaning time in August and September when mom's able to jump over the fence, but then the fawn can't. And if that fence is, you know, 3, 4, 5 miles long, it's very detrimental to the wildlife. In fact, they did a study down in northern Colorado that kind of extended in Utah where they studied the different fencing and the mortality rates with wildlife. They found that woven fence has a 2.5 times higher mortality rate than any other fences. And so we've kind of, the Mule Deer Foundation here, our chapters and our volunteers, this last couple of years, we've kind of made that our mantra, trying to get rid of that fence off the Dakota prairies. It's just nasty stuff. And I tell you what, when we pulled some out last year, and I remember these antelope, they were stuck, couldn't get around or anything like that, and they would run. Now we got out there, and those antelope, they're spread out. That's better that they're spread out and stuff. You have less chance of disease and everything like that. They're able to move around much more freely, too. So it's nice to see that. And then the landowners, what we're doing is when we're working with them, this is a cost share thing. And so we're helping out, offsetting the cost. We're pulling this out at no charge for them. We're pulling it out whenever we can. And then we do a cost share with them, and they're replacing any fencing with wildlife-friendly fencing. And the wildlife-friendly fencing, just really quick on that, is that fence, the bottom wire is usually up higher, 16, 18 inches. It's smooth. There's no barbs on it. And then the top wire is usually a little bit lower than the normal fence. And then the second wire from the top, their spacing is a lot closer together, so it prevents, you know, less of a chance of a animal's leg getting caught into that thing as well.
Very interesting. By the way, questions or comments, I only have a couple minutes left with Marshall, but if you do, get those in at 701-367-2054 by text 701-367-2054, or you can call us at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550 today on what's on your mind, all right? Questions or comments, certainly welcome for us and Marshall today on the program. Somebody wanted to know when your next meeting is in Watford City. You got a chapter out there, right?
Yes, we do. In fact, we are going to have a meeting tomorrow night. We are going to meet over at the Stoneholm Brewery. It'll start, I think I had down either 6 or 6:30. If you go to our Facebook page, there's the Bakken Roughnecks chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation. If you're on Facebook, and you'll see the time and location. I can't remember if it was 6 or 6:30, but that'll be tomorrow night. We are planning a Gunnapalooza on September 17th, Tuesday night at Stoneholm. So we're going to be going through all that stuff right there. So we need the help. We would love to have people check us out.
What's a Gunnapalooza?
Gunnapalooza is a new thing that we've been doing here at the Mule Deer Foundation. It's just a fun, fast, lively event that lasts 2 hours. We generally do them on a weeknight. They start at 6 o'clock. We're done right at 8 o'clock, and we give away anywhere from 12 to 15, 16 guns during that time period. Plus, there's a silent auction and door prizes. We give away trips. It's just a great fundraiser and a lot of fun.
All right, so that's September 17th, and you said tomorrow night you're doing a little planning for it.
Yeah, tomorrow night's going to be our planning session, and it's kind of a fun planning session because we also pick out guns. So it's a lot of fun, you know, to go through the different guns and everything, you know. It's a good time. We really enjoy it. And one of the things the Mule Deer Foundation, when we do our chapters here in North Dakota, we try to pick out, you know, the really hot calibers or a unique gun, something that people normally don't have in their safe.
Gary in Jamestown, quick question for Marshall. Go ahead.
Instead of pulling up miles of fence, why not just simply cut holes in the fence every quarter mile? That'd save a lot of time and money.
Well, it could, but a lot of times these ranchers, they just want to get rid of that old fence. You know, they don't want it either.
Yeah, makes sense. Marshall,
new stuff.
Appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Good luck. Have fun getting rid of that fence.
Got dips in your sidewalk? Driveway sinking? The drastic change in weather can take a real toll on your concrete. At Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North, we've got a solution. Polyjacking. Similar to mudjacking, polyjacking requires smaller holes and does not retain moisture, meaning less heaving and a quicker dry time with longer lasting results. Polyjacking. The practical solution to concrete replacement. To learn more, go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
We're asking residents of Watford City, what's it like to live the good life? Shiloh Chavez tells us.
Yeah, so I think that the quality of life here is amazing. It's a really progressive community who has really made an emphasis on making families feel welcome, and so that's definitely helping increase that quality here. There's lots of things to do.
Learn more at voicesofwatford.com.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th. I love Toby Mac stuff.
Yeah, awesome.
A great lineup of artists here. People that have heard of Mark Lee from Third Day, Jackie Velasquez, J.J. Weeks, Torrin Wells. There's a lot of really good artists here. How big is this problem of human trafficking here in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo?
As a subsidiary of Thrive Fest, Rising Hope Foundation is building homes to rescue individuals who've been caught in that. And so it's a growing, massive problem right under our noses.
Michael, your work with the Fargo PD, I'm sure you come in contact with individuals that are caught in this.
Yeah, it's something we see, and it's a problem that people are still looking for a solution to. Not just raising awareness, but bringing true solutions to stopping this so we don't have to have shelters for young victims, older victims, and we don't have to keep having campaigns where we're trying to raise awareness on such an evil problem.
Thrive Fest North, August 23rd through the 25th at the North Dakota Horse Park. That number is 612-554-4804.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Texter says, if I had a voice like Andy Gibb and a face like Carson Wentz, I'd have life made.
There you go.
Yeah. Was Andy Gibb part of the Bee Gees, or was he always the younger brother didn't necessarily
sing?
He was a solo. He did his own deal.
Maurice, Robin, and Barry were the original.
Yeah.
And Andy was the kind of solo stuff.
It's kind of sad.
Shadow dancing and stuff. Yeah.
It's sad that you remember their names.
I know. It was my time. A lot of radio spins on those guys in the day.
There you go. Go Wireline, one of our fine sponsors here on the program. You need wireline services, you call a North Dakota company with oodles of experience. 200 years plus combined experience in the wireline industry. How about that? And they're in Williston and Dickinson. You call, they go. GoWireline.com. One of our fine sponsors on the program. I have been promising the entire show that I would read a letter to the editor that impressed me. Not many letters to the editor impress me. It's sort of usually the usual suspects and kind of blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But I love well-thought-out letters to the editor, and this is one. The gentleman's name is Ken Kohler. Okay? And here's what Ken wrote. A message for those who identify as LGBTQ. Now, right away you say, uh-oh, where is this going to go? What's going to happen here? Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Stuff's going to start, you know, flying. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Very, very calm letter that just is a sincere question. I'm going to read it now without any additional commentary. Is it possible to present a point of view contrary to some others and to explain why that view is held without being called a derogatory name? Is there a way to respectfully and lovingly try to reach out to those who identify as LGBTQ with a message that these lifestyle choices are contrary to God's creative design without being thought of as a hateful homophobe? I'm going to try. First, I make reference to God because I believe that He is also the creator and the designer of sexuality and gender. When asked about such things, Jesus responded clearly by stating, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Secondly, I purposefully use the word lifestyle choice because regardless of what our feelings and desires may be, we make conscious decisions and choices regarding how to act on them. Yes, I also believe that our fallen, sinful nature introduces desires contrary to God's revealed design and will, but deciding to act on them and or celebrate and encourage others to do so is clearly a choice. Some people recognize that they have desires for another person's wife or husband. Others have desires for sexual activity with children and so on. But do we then simply say this is the way they must have been born? And so in order to be loving, we need to support them in their desires and actions, whatever they may be? Of course not. I've been told that love is the most important of God's commandments, and I agree. God loves all and directs us to do the same. But genuine love seeks to help restore by pointing out misguided desires and actions rather than supporting or even overlooking them. Activities such as Youth Pride All Ages Drag Show, recently held in Fargo, take on an even more serious nature as they intentionally introduce and pridefully promote sexual and gender confusion to children and youth. This brings us back to the words from the greatest example of genuine love of all time. These words need to be repeated. God created us male and female, not with the most recently claimed 112 genders that appeared when I Googled how many genders are there. And so it is love, not hate, that prompts these attempted words of reminder and restoration, regardless of labels or one's past or present desires or choices. And it is my hope that those reading this who have lived or thought otherwise will be led to understand and agree with the one who created us in the first place. Surely he knows what is best for us and brings us blessing and what will bring us harm. Thank you for listening. Signed by Ken Kohler, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, K-O-E-H-L-E-R, in yesterday's Fargo Forum. Controversial topic. One that some people walk on eggshells about. You don't want to talk about it because you don't want to offend anybody or make any mad or, you know, have people say hateful things about you or whatever. But I thought, pretty well done in the way he said it.
I've decided that I know I'm fat, but I'm going to identify as skinny. Therefore, I'm trans slender.
See, now, okay? now you're getting into the dangerous territory of, you know, sort of mocking the behaviors. Ken didn't do that.
I would never.
Ken stayed high road, didn't he?
All right, then. I'll get back up there.
Be like Ken, Kevin.
Okay.
Be like Ken.
Sorry.
Well, actually, you are, because, you know, Barbie's Ken was slender. So there you go. That was, there. You know, you are being like Ken. Albeit a different Ken. But is Ken still around, or is it just a Barbie thing now?
I think it's just a Barbie thing.
I think they threw Ken to the curb.
You know what? I'm good with whatever life you want to lead. That's fine. Do your thing. Dance your dance. But the transgender athlete things are really getting under my skin lately.
transgender females that are competing on female, biological female teams. That stuff just, that's just wrong.
I think you've described correctly the way things are now. Just, you know, just sort of be quiet and don't be a target. But I thought Ken, you know, tackled the tough topic, but, but did it with love and did it with some things that, you know, are worth thinking about, I think.
You bet.
All right, folks, we have to go today, unfortunately, but we get to do this all over tomorrow again. So God bless you. Thanks for listening. More after this. For a few years, you heard me talking about Every Day Made Better. I live it. In a hot spring spa from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Vince Webker, the owner, is here. So, Vince, I'm telling you, nobody should go through a winter like this without a hot tub, a sauna from Hot Spring Spas.
Well, nobody should go through life without a hot tub or a sauna. It actually makes you live better, possibly live longer. It corrects your wellness sins. You do things better by sitting in a hot tub or a sauna daily than you do without, because it does some stuff to the body that we could get into technically. But as I always say, it makes you physically better, mentally better, relationally better. To go through life without one, I think is tough, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we're 25% more stressed out this year than we were last year, and it's just a way of life. And this thing is a true blue stress reliever.
And great financing right now, 60 months, no interest, 5 years, and you don't make your first payment for 6 months. Plus 12 months, no interest, no payments. That's another option. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online at hotspringnb.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.